I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. It is poised and tense in the first of those semi-finals. It currently sits Hearts 1, Aberdeen 1, with the winner taking on the winner of St Johnstone against Celtic tomorrow. Huge day in the Championship and down the leagues as well. Hamilton Accies deducted 15 points during the week, almost certainly going to be relegated, and they welcome Queen's Park today. We'll also keep an eye on the likes of Falkirk Raith Rovers as the Bairns look to close in on the title, and Dunfermline against Partick Thistle. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the studio is Gordon DL, Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans.
Two managers on a knife edge at the National Stadium. Jimmy Tilleen trying to win Aberdeen the Scottish Cup for the first time in 35 years. A ridiculous length of time for a club of Aberdeen size not to have won that particular trophy. But it looks to me as if it could be heading for extra time, and that might appeal to Neil Critchley. He's down to 10 men. He lost Michael Steinbender to a red card, but his team are hanging in there, and he needs that win today because the Hearts fans are out to get him, Andy.
An extremely exciting day across Scottish football. There's permutations all over the place for the Championship, League One and League Two, and we're currently watching the first of the 2 Scottish Cup semi-finals. Who will be in the Scottish Cup final? As of now, Aberdeen being the favourites, with Hearts going down to 10 men, but that remains to be seen. And good luck to Clyde One's Matt Wilson, and what's a massive game for Partick Thistle today, and I'm sure the Dazzler will back me up on that.
Yeah, you'll share those sentiments.
Well, I went against him last week. I'm certainly sticking with him this week, so I'm wishing him all the very best. But I think the guys are right. We're looking at semi-final here. It's evenly balanced, although Aberdeen have got that one-man advantage. I think Hearts look well organised. I think this could go all the way.
Aberdeen had a one-man advantage last Sunday against Rangers, and a 2-goal advantage, and they blew it.
Yeah, it's a great point, Hugh. And I've got to say, watching the first half, Hearts were the best side before they get that man sent off. But I think there's still twists and turns in this semi-final to go yet.
Yeah, let's just quickly bring you up to speed on that before we go round our Championship matches. 77 minutes gone at the National Stadium. Hearts 1, Aberdeen 1. Hearts started the better team, then Aberdeen scored through, well, Papa Gay's header, but I think officially an own goal, one of those that hits the woodwork, then hits Craig Gordon as he's trying to keep it out. And then Lawrence Shankland, criticised for his lack of goals this season, popped up with what looked at that point like a very important one. But then the big turning point as well, potentially, still well inside the first half, Michael Steinvinder chopping down Topi Keskinen. I suppose he was denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity, was he? Would we argue with that? Albeit, he's still a good 35-40 yards from goal, so a huge moment. But you can't really tell yet. Aberdeen probably with most of the territory, but with just over 10 sorry, of the 90 to go. Hearts 1, Aberdeen 1. Any complaints about the red card, Andy?
I don't think so. I think Hearts fans will feel hard done by, given that the tackle is 40-45 yards out from goal. But I don't think there's any doubt that it is denying a goal scoring opportunity. It remains to be seen whether Keskinen would go on to have a clear shot at goal. Although he has got blistering pace, it does look as if there was a couple of defenders recovering. But I don't think they can have too many complaints. But I tell you what, they'll be happy with their team in this second half, even though they're down to 10 men. I feel as if they've handled Aberdeen fairly well, to be honest with you, and they've had some couple of half chances for set pieces as well.
The only thing I would look at the sending off was the distance between where he was and how far he had to travel. We don't know what like his next touch is, you know, and you can't just judge it on someone's pace, Gordon. I can totally understand the referee, but I just look, if you've got to have an argument with it, have a look at the distance.
Is it the referee's obligation though to give him the benefit of the doubt? He's got the chance to score. What his next touch, I appreciate, might have been
He's 40 terrible. Yards from goal.
I know, but the referee has to make a decision in that split second.
Yeah, I go with that.
And is it still an obvious goal scoring opportunity, even though, because he is through on goal at that point, albeit with a bit to travel?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're debating it, but what we can guarantee is it's a crazy challenge for Michael Steinwinder. I mean, they go to ground at the pace he does. It's left Hearts in a real lurch going into this game. But I can't remember the last time I've seen a game where the first four substitutions for a team have all been defenders. Hearts have made four subs and it's all been defenders coming onto the pitch. They've now got a back five with three in the midfield and one up front. Obviously try to prolong the game potentially to extra time, but they're dealing with Aberdeen fairly well.
I think the man under pressure though is Jimmy Tilleen, the other manager, because you can't, you know, two games in a row, you play for more than half a match against 10 men. You've got to make it count. They had a draw with Rangers.
What a block.
And they've had a chance there. But Jimmy Tilleen now, I would say, gets judged harshly if he doesn't do this against 10 men.
Well, we'll keep you up to speed as this one progresses. Hearts are in the box. There's maybe a nudge there from Kevin Nisbet, but I think he gets away with it. It is 1-1 to remind you. Hearts have been down to 10 men for quite some time. 10 minutes of the 90 to go, of course, played to a finish today. So extra time and penalties, potentially. We'll keep an eye out on that one. A double change coming up for Aberdeen as well. Ode Dabag is going to come on. He's certainly one of them. We'll just wait and see who comes off for Jimmy Tilleen's side. But we have big fish to fry in the Championship as well. And the story of the day by a mile is now in Hamilton. Roger Hanna, remind us of what's happened during the week and what that means going forward, starting with the game today.
Well, Gordon, you know how annoyed I get on a Monday night when you have me at minus two. So you can only imagine how annoyed Hamilton Accies are at being minus 15. But that is the penalty that the SPFL placed on them in midweek for four breaches of SPFL rules. It dropped them from seventh in the Championship to bottom. They are 8 points adrift of Airdrie with just three games to go. If they do not win today, they will be relegated to League One, albeit they still could appeal. I know the board here at New Douglas Park are looking at the written submission from the SPF, or from the Independent Tribunal, I should say, to decide whether they can appeal to the SFA. If they do, can you imagine how that would throw the Championship relegation and League One promotion playoff picture into absolute turmoil? It is history repeating itself. 25 years ago, you may remember, the hit with a 15-point penalty and relegated from the old Division 2. It saved Queen of the South at that stage. They didn't play a game against Stenhouse Muir amid a row over unpaid wages back then. And now, very similar things happening. Airdrie could be saved. Queen's Park, who are here today, could be saved. Dunfermline could be saved. And the real irony is, with three games of the Championship season ago, Hamilton looked safe. They were in 7th and 35 points, two ahead of Dunfermline and Queen's Park. They were in great form, back-to-back wins over Dunfermline and Partick. I know Fraser Wishart watched them win at Fir Hill last week and was really impressed. And they were hoping to welcome a Spiders team here today who are in abysmal form. 9 straight defeats, just one goal in their last 7 games. Today was supposed to be a day of celebration for the Accies staying in the second tier. But now, of course, everything is on the shoulders of John Rankin and his players. There's been talk of protest at the front door against the Accies hierarchy today. It was certainly quiet when I came in a little while ago. I don't know whether this is planned after the game today, but it certainly turned everything on its head. Queen's Park arriving here in much better fettle. They know a win today would all but certainly keep them in the Championship after their disastrous run, which of course has seen Callum Davison sacked after that historic win at Ibrox. It's seen Lord Hockey withdrawing his funding for the club and his place caretaker boss Stephen McLean and all sorts of bother. So it really is tense, nervous, anxious all here at New Douglas Park. The unsurprisingly, John Rankin, he's unchanged from that side that won at Thistle last weekend. So Dean Lyness is in goal. It's the same back three: Dylan McGowan, Sean McGinty and Barry Maguire. Across the middle, Ruben Tumulty, Charlie Telfer, Kyle McDonald and Stephen Bradley, with Scott Robinson tucked in behind Ollie Shaw and Nikolai Todorov. On the bench, Albinson, Kildee and Hendry, Lamy, Longridge and McKinsey, Burjonas, O'Hara and Henderson. Steve McLean makes 5 changes from the side beaten at Hampden and Dunfermline last week, and includes a recall for the Ibrox match winner Seb Droge. So in goal, it's Callum Ferry, a back four, Adam Devine on loan from Rangers, Will Tizzard, Ben Jackson and Adam Montgomery on loan from Celtic. Just in front, Sean Welsh and Roddy McGregor, and then Aidan McGinley, Ryan Duncan and Timam Scott behind Seb Droge. In the best, Lewinsky, Longridge and Savory, Hurst, Rudden and Turner, Evans, McLean and Hickey Fukadja. The referee is Kevin Clancy, and it is going to be a very, very nervy 90 minutes, Gordon.
Yeah, I suppose, Roger, the bigger picture here is still a complicated one, because Hamilton Accies are going to appeal this. What that looks like, or more importantly, how long that takes, no one really knows. I think you could probably make a safe bet that it won't be resolved before their relegation is confirmed. So how does that all play out from here?
It plays out chaotically, I should say, because the playoffs are due to start, Gordon, the first week in May. So ordinarily, the second bottom team, say the league's finish as they are today, Gordon, second bottom team, Airdrie, would take on Queen of the South. I think it's going to be Cove against Stenhouse Muir. But how on earth can you start playoffs if you're in a situation where Hamilton are appealing? Hamilton might win the appeal, in which case Airdrie would need to get out automatically. As things stand at the minute, Queen's Park would then go into the playoff place against Queen of the South. Dunfermline and Neil Lennon take on Partick, they're still in that picture as well. So there are so many teams potentially at the bottom of the Championship, at the top of League One potentially, who could be impacted, hugely impacted, by what's going to happen to Hamilton over the next few days or weeks.
I'll bring you in as well, Fraser Wishart. I dare say if there are unpaid wages, you'll have been involved in some way, but I know you won't be able to discuss the details. But just to kind of bring your thoughts on it as well, so much is going to be felt for players here, for supporters, of how harsh it'll feel. But do any of us really, is there anything we can go on in terms of if this punishment is harsh or if it's fair? You look through the rap sheet, it's quite lengthy from the SPFL. Are Hamilton as a club hard done by or not? Is it easy to tell?
No, it's impossible to tell unless you know the actual detail of the case and what the SPFL and the tribunal were told in evidence. So it's very difficult for us to tell from the outside. I was surprised at the severity. I didn't even realise some of the charges they were up against. So that tells me that the SPFL had some kind of evidence of some wrongdoing. Not acting in good faith is a fairly serious charge. I don't know what that would entail, but part of that is to work on and respect the collective of the league as well. So there's lots of bits and pieces in here, and there's four major charges. I think Rogers hit the nail on the head about the issues we face, because when I'm representing a player, if a player's suspended and they then appeals against it, you don't then serve the suspension. The suspension and the sanction is put to one side until the appeal's heard, because the player might win it. And I would guess that must be the same here. You can't just take 15 points off, relegate Hamilton Accies, and then they win their appeal. But appeals are very difficult to win. You have to prove in two circumstances you can appeal by saying that the panel wronged. You can't just say, oh, they got it wrong. You've got to say they wronged in law or the regulation or whatever else. And you can also appeal the sanction. So you can say, well, in any case, 12 games or 15 points, sorry, or 12 for one charge, 3 for another, is too hefty as well. So I don't know what Hamilton are going to do about it. It's going to play out in the next few weeks, and I'm sure we'll hear more from the SPFL in due course about what happens with relegation, promotion and playoffs, because this is completely new to me, and I've been involved in this side of the game for a long time.
It seems like a complicated web, Roger, because there's another story in your newspaper, amongst others, this morning about, you know, Hamilton owing money for the stadium that they play at, and there are a lot of layers to this.
There certainly are layers to it, and we're discovering more and more as the days go on, Gordon. The stadium is not owned by Hamilton Academical Football Club, but it's owned by a separate company. They charge rent not only to Hamilton Accies, you need to remember Clyde play here as well in League 2, so Clyde pay rent to that same company as well. There are debts mounting to that company from Hamilton Accies. You can see it in their last audited accounts. We believe the debt has increased since then. So there are a lot of issues to be resolved by the hierarchy here at Hamilton. And the ones you feel sorry for, and Fraser will back me up in this, are the players. They fought really hard to keep Hamilton Accies in this division. They celebrated really important back-to-back wins. They had a huge win up at Dunfermline a couple of weeks ago. They backed that up with an even better win away to Partick Thistle last weekend. They are in probably their best run of form this season. And John Rankin's got it right on the pitch at the right time. And then off the pitch, everything is just unravelled. And it looks to me, as things stand, they'll be playing in League One next season. And you just wonder how many of these current players will still be here to mount what might be a promotion bid next campaign.
Yeah, a lot of sympathy for the fans as well. We even had tears on the radio show during the week. We'll see who turns up today, how many of them, and what their mood is like. Let's stick to a more traditional football build-up with Fraser's game that he's actually at today, Falkirk against Raith. Remind us of the picture, the permutations, Fraser.
Yeah, you're mentioning my job with the PFA. Sometimes you're dealing with the darker side of football, but today is the light side of football. It's a real exciting day, I think, for Falkirk fans. Too much waiting around today for a 3 o'clock kickoff. They just want the game to start, because 12 months ago they were on the verge of a promotion and an unbeaten league season after 5 horrible years in League 2. 5 years in League 2 is unthinkable for a club like Falkirk. Today on the verge of back-to-back promotions and into the Premiership level, where the club spent a lot of time in the 90s and 2000s. I played for them in the Premier League in 92-93. Good club. Last played in the top division, though, in 2009-2010. But Livingston's form has meant they must do it for themselves. Probably what Falkirk want. A win today. They're 6 points ahead of 2 games to play. And although, arithmetically, that means Livy could still catch John McGlynn's team. And I'm sure John will say after the game, no, we've not won it yet. The reality is, the goal difference after today, if they win, of at least plus 15, the fans will celebrate today as if they won the title. John McGlynn's built a good team. It was exciting football. He's got pace in the right areas. Excited the fans. But I think he knows this will be a tricky one against Raith Rovers today, because they've improved under Barry Robson, unbeaten in their last 7. And they still have a lot to play for. They could be promoted. They've got promotion in sight for themselves. They sit 5th, just 2 points behind Partick, who have gone off the boil in the battle for that final promotion playoff place. And a win today would set them up nicely for a push over the last 2 weeks. Plenty of experience in the Wraith squad, Paul Hannon, Lewis Stevenson, but they've got really good footballers. The two number 10s, Dylan Easton and Lewis Vaughan, in attack, who can cause problems for any team in the division. And they've actually won here this season, Wraith Rovers. They won in the Cup here 2-1 in January in the Scottish Cup. So they know how to win here, and I think this could be a very nervy 90 minutes. Won't be many empty seats, but the Falkirk fans, I think, will be put through the mill. Sometimes after a long season at the top of the table, the most difficult thing is finally getting over the line, but it's in their hands. A win today and they're virtually there. They've made no changes from the team that drew air a week ago on Friday. Nicky Hogarth in goals, Keelan Adams, Cole Donaldson, Liam Henderson and Sean Mackey in at the back, Brad Spencer and Dylan Tate in midfield, Calvin Miller, Scott Arfield and Ethan Ross are behind the lone striker Gary Oliver. The subs: Ross Monroe, Finn Yates, Aidan Nisbet, Alfredo Aguiman, Barney Stewart, Luke Graham, Tom Lang, Miller Thompson and Ross McKeever. And no changes either for Wraith Rovers. They drew home to Airdrie last week. They go with a 3-4-3 formation. Josh Ray in goals, Jordan Doherty, Callum Fordyce and Paul Hanlon at the back, Josh Mullen, Scott Brown, Ross Matthews and Lewis Stevenson across the midfield, with Lewis Vaughan and Dylan Easton either side of the lone striker. Jamie Gullen, Andy McNeil, Aidan Conley, Lewis Gibson, Aidan Marsh, Liam Dick, Ewan Murray, Sean Byrne, Kai Montague and George Gitau are the subs. And the referee today at the Falkirk Stadium is one of the up and coming guys, Ross Hardy.
Okay, what about the Dunfermline Partick Thistle clash? David Friel is there.
Yeah, fascinating battle this one. Gordon, our very own Mark Wilson, spent 18 months as Neil Lennon's Celtic teammate. He then played under him for 2 years at Parkhead, and now they will go up against each other in the dugouts in a huge game for both clubs. Mark's co-manager Brian Graham starts up front for Thistle as usual, and that means Mark will be sharing the touchline with his old Celtic manager. He'll keep an eye on events down there this afternoon, and as I said, this is a big one for both, starting with Thistle, who are chasing that final playoff spot. Wraith Rovers out to catch, and they sit 2 points behind them with 3 to play. Back-to-back defeats for Thistle against Airdrie and Hamilton, that hasn't helped their cause, and they really need to bounce back today against the Dunfermline team still battling to stay up even amid all the chaos. As Roger said, that 15-point deduction for Hamilton has led to so much uncertainty. Dunfermline in the adjusted table sits 7th, and if the punishment does stand, they can't get down automatically. However, they're only 5 ahead of Airdrie as they're about to avoid a playoff, so they still need points. And you have to assume Neil Lennon's message to his players is very, very clear: ignore the off-field stuff, and just focus on winning games. The film thumped Thistle 4-1 in the last meeting of the teams in January. I was at that game for Super Scoreboard. It was an absolute thumping, and they should be confident, I think, after the 1-0 win over Queen's Park last weekend. Neil Lennon did get bad news. Lewis McCann, a real key player for Dunfermline, he's out for the rest of the season, but Michael Hallam comes in up front. So it's Toby Ulawemi in goals, Jeremiah Chilakoa Mullen, Kyle Benedictus and Tommy Fogarty are the back three, Alan Comrie, Chris Hamilton, Craig Clay and Ewan Otto at the midfield, with Matty Todd, Chris Kane and Michael Hallam in attack. Subs for them: Raymond Witherspoon, Cooper Yeboah, Oakley Booth, Hampson and Victor Wanyama, who is still waiting to make his home debut for Dunfermline. As for Thistle, they made a change in goal. Young Lewis Budenaukas, he drops out, David Mitchell comes in. There's also a blow, Logan Chalmers is injured and Stephen Lawless comes in. David Mitchell in goals, Kenai Omegua, Sean Kelly, Lee Ashcroft and Dan Riley at the back. Luke McBeth, Ben Stanway will anchor the midfield with Stephen Lawless, Robbie Crawford, Aidan Fitzpatrick in behind Brian Graham. So the subs for Thistle are Budenaukas, Cameron Reid, Turner, Ablade, Mackenzie Faulkner, Lockhart and Rooney, and the referee at East End Park is Nick Walsh.
Full time at Hampden, here is Dave Galloway.
Yeah,
Hello, Dave, can you hear us? It is full time. We'll try and get Dave to give us the update in just a second. I don't want to steal his thunder. I think you'll know the score because I would have given you a change if it had altered in any way. I tell you what, we'll do it when we return.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to enter extra time at Hampden. It is poised. Hearts and Aberdeen level a goal apiece. Aberdeen should have the advantage. They do have the numerical advantage. Hearts have been down to 10 men for ages, but still no change in the scoreline. So off we go for another period of extra time, and then you never know, penalties. So we'll keep you up to speed with that. We've already given you team news from our three featured championship matches. With that in mind then, we tend to look back on the week's biggest talking points at this stage on a Saturday. Andy Halliday, talk to us about Rangers in Europe. Your overall thoughts?
I thought it was another positive campaign, but I thought they came up against the favourites of the competition, and we can see the favourites of the competition for a reason. I thought specifically out of possession, you can see why they've got the joint best defensive record in La Liga. I thought they never gave Rangers a sniff when Rangers were in possession. And I thought overall within the two legs, I think Rangers would be disappointed that they never offered a wee bit more of an attacking threat. On Thursday night in particular, I thought Athletic Club, like we said, were excellent out of possession. Rangers never really offered too much of a threat, but it just shows how important goals are and how much goals changes games, because that the penalty a minute before half time, if Rangers get a 0-0 and can take it into the second half and again try and be defensively dogged and see what it takes from a set piece or whatnot, then it could be a different game. But as soon as Athletic Club went 1-0, you've got to say that you felt as the tie was over. But major talking point with the penalty claim in the first half for Cyril Dessers, for me. No, Barry Ferguson bemoaned the two penalty decisions that he felt that Rangers were on the wrong end of. I disagree with him on the second, but I certainly agree with him on the first.
Roger Hannah, what's the bigger picture looking like then for Rangers as they try and digest this and move forward?
The bigger picture is the season can't end quickly enough for Rangers now. They need the 49ers Enterprises and Andrew Kavanagh to take charge of the football club, and they need to make big decisions for the football department. I think Barry Ferguson has carried himself very well in the role of interim manager. Billy Dodds, Neil McCann, Alan McGregor all in with him. Results have been mixed. That's perhaps understandable with the players at his disposal, but I think Rangers fans want the 49ers in. They want a decision on who's going to be manager taking the club forward into next season, and they want that manager to start quickly to rebuild a squad that has impressed at times in Europe this season but has been dreadful domestically. Historically bad, 5 consecutive home defeats at Ibrox, including one against a Queen's Park side that I'm going to watch this afternoon, Gordon. So the fans, they've got 5 games to go, including the derby against Celtic at Ibrox, but starting with St Mirren in Paisley next week, they're meaningless. It doesn't matter what happens with the games, it doesn't matter what happens with the score lines or the players. Rangers just need the season to end and they need a new era to begin.
What does this all mean for Barry Ferguson then in your mind, David Friel?
I think as we've said all along, Gordon, look, he'd put himself in the mix, in the conversation, but I've always felt, and I think most people probably do, that they'll look elsewhere. I felt he spoke really well after the game, to be honest with you, in terms of just, you know, talking about how this does need to get sorted soon, whether it's him or someone else, because Rangers, you know, time is ticking until it looks as if Rangers are going to be in the second qualifying round of the Champions League, and Champions League money is huge for Rangers, no matter who's in charge, whether it's the current board or the new owners. Champions League is huge. Rangers need to get their ducks in a row for that. Where it leaves him is, I don't think Barry will get the job. I think he's carried himself well. Results probably over the piece haven't been enough to get him the job, but I think Rangers, whether it's Barry or someone else, need to make a decision pretty soon.
Yeah, I think Bill Ball's probably done for Barry Ferguson. I thought Rangers imploded on the night. I do understand all of the complaints about Dessers' penalty, and it should have been a penalty. However, there was too much tinkering with the team, too much confusion on the park, notes being sent on for players. It didn't look well. And I think the 5 games remaining will be largely torture for the Rangers supporters and players, with the exception of May 4 when Celtic go there. That is a different life form. But there's so much to be done at Rangers. You know, I would guarantee that Brendan Rodgers already knows
which players he's going to talk to Dermot Desmond about when they meet in the summertime. And Celtic will be well down the road in terms of their planning for next season. Rangers don't know for sure that the takeover is even completed. And then they have to find out who is going to be the manager, and so many other things relative to recruitment have to be done. They're already behind the pace where all of that is concerned, and this has to move on rapidly.
Were we being unrealistic to begin with then, Andy? Were, you know, this notion that Barry Ferguson could win himself this job if he was, you know, flawless, if he got to a Europa League final, if he won a Europa League, if he went unbeaten in the cold light of day, that was never really going to happen with this Rangers team, was it? So it was always stacked against them.
Listen, I can't possibly disagree that it was stacked against them, but I thought it was stacked against the team in 2022 when they got to Seville, and no one envisaged that they would get to the Europa League final that year. So it wasn't impossible, that's for sure, but I always felt like that's what it had to be for Barry Ferguson to get the job. I do think that he had to get all the way to the final, potentially win it, because for me there was no doubt that these guys that are coming in with the takeover want their own man at the job.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting period now, Fraser Wishart, going forward.
Yeah, well, they've always got something to look forward to, the Rangers fans, haven't they, all season? The league was gone fairly early on, but there's still the Scottish Cup and the Europa League. Then they knocked out the Scottish Cup, still the Europa League. Barry Ferguson comes in and they still get big games. They win against Fenerbahce, but now the reality is probably going to set home. As Roger says, there's not really much to play forward to now and the end of the season. The 49ers thing's interesting because the Rangers fans obviously want them in, but things have to be done properly and you can't rush these things. When are they going to come in? And if they do come in, it'd be a different budget from if they don't buy the overall shareholding in the club as well. So much uncertainty as to whether they will be in charge at the start of next season or not, and that impacts on who the manager is, and also impacts on the budget for the players they can bring in. And when you think about it, football, there's not a short break, you know, and between the end of the season and pre-season training starting, it's probably only a month and then maybe another couple of weeks before the European qualifiers as well for the Champions League. So, you know, there's not a lot of time between now and the start of next season, so things have to be solved as quickly as they possibly can with the 49ers. If they come in, great. If they don't, then at least there's certainty over what Rangers have got to spend and who the manager's going to be.
Vaslav Cherny, for example, next month will go back to Wolfsburg. Now, is he going to be a Rangers player next season? Who's going to decide on his future? Who will take the decision to pay the fee that Rangers are obliged to pay for Cherny? That's just one decision. Hadji's another. The whole thing is fairly chaotic. And if the season starts with the 49 Enterprise not in charge of the club, where do Rangers go from there?
I mean, you have to assume that it would be in line in some way. But then at the same time, what does that mean and how many other ducks are in a row? Because David Friel was just pointing out to me July 22nd is the first Champions League qualifier, so not much hanging around.
I mean, you're talking about a multi-million pound deal here, and David was right that when legalities are involved, you can't go rushing around, because things must be ready in place for July, the Champions League qualifiers. That doesn't matter to the lawyers.
Yeah, we're kind of doing this in a backwards order perhaps, because I was wanting to talk about big picture, but just a bit more on it before we go, Gordon, in the cold light of day. Where's the balance between Rangers feeling aggrieved, hard done by at refereeing decisions, and also things that they got wrong?
A bit of both. I think there were three big major moments in the game the other night there. I think obviously Desser's everybody the talking point. I think it was a stick-on penalty. I've not heard many disagree with that. Now, what you don't guarantee is if Tavernier puts it in the back of the net. You can't see that. The second one was Suter making that decision. And the third one, the first half, I think, was Barry with the substitution. Now, you go back to Barry Ferguson, I've heard the guys talking about, I don't think you can give him enough praise for him and his staff. He's held that club together since the departure of Clement. I think he's went in there, he's brought the fans together, he's brought the full club together. Going forward, I don't think he's going to get the job. I'm the same with the rest of the guys. They were just a step above. And unfortunately, Rangers needed that little bit of break, that bit of luck. Maybe it would have been the Dessers penalty kick. Maybe it had been the first goal that would have gave them so much encouragement, because we've seen it before. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be in the night. And they're talking, I think it was Roger said, meaningless games. They've still Celtic to play.
I'll tell you what, the biggest news to come out of the Europa League the other night was Marvin's meltdown. Have you heard about this? Marvin Bartley was out last night. He was walking his dog and he called in the show. He was so outraged because I was criticising him, saying he's the only person really on the team that we've heard that doesn't think Dessers was a penalty. And he's back on, he's doubled down, he's all over his Instagram, he's sharing newspaper articles that apparently the manufacturer that manufactures Rangers shirts, that there is evidence across various leagues that they rip when sweaty. There you go.
Oh, right, so that was a sweat rip.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, right, I can see where the big man
said. He's doubling down.
And that's why that Andy's replaced him this afternoon. That's all it's
even
said.
The dog was bored with it by the time he finished.
What is interesting that though is I did say in the game Thursday that I think the material, the cast off strip, goes against Dessers, because I think if the defender has a prolonged hold of the jersey, I think it's an easy decision for the referee. But that being said, I still think it's a penalty.
Officials and VAR must have went, well, I tell you what, these strips need sorting.
This is good though, because there are a couple of different theories now, because people have been saying all week that the ripped shirt is proof that it's a penalty. Andy thinks the ripped shirt has held back the penalty decision. Yeah. Pardon the pun. This is incredible, Roger Hannah. What a level of detail on here.
Wow. I thought it was a penalty kick, I have to say. I'm not convinced that even if Rangers had scored the penalty, and as I said earlier, I'm watching Queen's Park, so Rangers don't always score penalties, but if they had scored the penalty, I'm not convinced it would have made a huge difference in the outcome of the game. What has been almost missed in this is the fact that Athletic Bilbao were exceptionally stronger than Rangers over two games, and I know Robin Proper was sent off earlier in the first game, but Bilbao would be annoyed that they didn't take a lead from Ibrox. They were the better team. They were the better team the other night. The semi-final against Manchester United will be an absolute belter, and our dear friend Ange Postecoglou is still in there as well. Gordon, against Bodo Glimt, we could have Man U against Big Ange in the final.
One of two things was always going to happen. Either Rangers continued to confound logic and reason and reach the final, or one night, somewhere, home or away, they were going to meet an opponent who played to their own acceptable standard and Rangers fell beneath theirs. And that's what happened in Bilbao. Rangers had a poor night.
I'm going against this, right? And it's all about opinions. I take on board that they look better possession and everything, right? Roger's saying there that he didn't believe, which is quite right. So I sort of think the first goal would have been so important. If Rangers get that. Now, you've seen them at home with 11v10, and basically their only chance really was a penalty kick. You've seen them over there. They'd one or two. Look, they're good players in the possession wise, and Andy talks about defensively when they've not got the ball, they're great at going getting it back. I didn't see.
No, I agree with you.
I didn't see Liam Kelly save after save, and they're batting the door down. I think if Rangers had got the first goal, it could have been. Look, I'm not saying it would, but it could have been a chance for Rangers to go and get into the semi-final.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't blown away with Athletic Bilbao in an attacking sense at all. You know, a big question mark going into the tie was the inclusion of Liam Kelly coming out of the cold, Jack Butland being dropped over the course of the two legs. Yep, he was a hero at Ibrox because he makes that penalty save, but you know, Athletic Club had two shots on target at Ibrox. The other one was a pretty routine save, obviously the penalty save. And then over there, again, it wasn't a barrage of chances. Now, where they were really impressive to me was out of possession. And like I said, they've got the joint best defensive record in the league. You can see why. But I compare it to when Lyon came to Ibrox. Lyon, I came away saying, wow. Like, Lyon were just a class above that day. Now, obviously, Athletic Club were the better team. They deserved to go through the tie, but I wasn't blown away from them.
Was La Liga called into question this week? Real Madrid 1, Arsenal 5, Carlo Ancelotti lumping the ball long. This is Real Madrid in the Bernabeu.
Well, talking about coming into question, you questioned Jimmy Tilleen being under pressure. A graph has just came up, and that we talked about Hearts containing them really well. It's now 104 minutes and Aberdeen have had two shots on target.
Oh, he's the man under pressure. I mean, the Hearts player, Michael
Has
Steinbender,
he ever been mentioned in the same breath as Carlo Ancelotti before?
No, this will be the last time as well. Okay. But Steinbender has been off since the first half of regulation time. We're now approaching the second half of extra time. Hearts have a chance here.
Oh, it's a great save.
No.
Oh,
that's great, Gordon.
My goodness.
There's the third shot on target.
Oh, I've got to say, that is top quality for me. Because yeah. he threw some bodies. I think that's in the back of the net. And all of a sudden, how Craig Gordon's... Oh, that's a fantastic save.
That's a man who's had a few big moments at Hampden over his career, isn't it? What a save that is. Because Jamie McCart is about half a yard in front of him and then pulls his leg out the way. It is level. Hearts 1, Aberdeen 1. We are about to reach the half-time mark of extra time. And who knows, maybe onwards to penalties. We go back around the grounds ahead of the 3 o'clock games next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The nerves, the tension, the anxiety, and that's just Dave Galloway in the press box at Hampden. It's Hearts 1, Aberdeen 1, 106 minutes into the second half of extra time. Players are now injured, there's cramp going on, and we're ticking towards penalties.
Tell me how an Aberdeen player has the audacity to go down suffering from cramp when the Hearts have 10 men now for 1 hour. They've been playing with 10 men, and Dorrington is... the Aberdeen player is getting treated for cramp. Jimmy Tilleen under pressure. If they don't beat 10 men...
Andy Haldy's got the dirtiest strip in the Scottish Premiership, the amount of time he spends on the grass. So I wouldn't bask in him. But Dorrington is back on his feet, and we'll see how this goes. Let's go back round the grounds then, because Hamilton Queen's Park is the standout in the Championship in a strange way, I suppose, because of that 15-point deduction. Any sort of sign, Roger, as to what the mood's like, or how many fans are in, or, you know, whether it's more than usual, less than usual, how they're reacting?
It's all very quiet. I would say it's just the usual game. Queen's Park fans are way behind the goal to my left. Aki's fans in the main stand here. There is no acrimony, there is no ire. You wonder if that would come if the result went against Aki's today. At the start of the week, I was quite convinced Aki's would go three in a row, they would beat Queen's Park, they would get themselves to safety in this Championship relegation fight. They've found form at just at the right time of the season. We've said John Rankin's made an unchanged team today. On paper, you would fancy them against this Queen's Park side, a young Queen's Park side that Stephen McLean has put out today. But you just wonder how the 15-point penalty has affected these players. They will have lived through all the problems, probably unseen, out with this football ground, out with this football club. These players have lived through it this season, and it's a dreadful blow to them and the fans to be plunged 8 points adrift with only 9 points to play for. You wonder if it's a blow that will affect the performance on the pitch today, or whether they'll want to put two fingers up to the SPFL and say, we are going to fight with everything we've got to stay up in this division despite your points penalty. I think it'll be a really good game of football today, Gordon.
Andy, it may be hard for you to answer without being in the exact position, but as a current pro, what do you think is going through the heads of the Hamilton players if you have to go and play that game today under... I mean, a cloud doesn't even cover it, the scale of what's gone on this week and what the future might look like.
I think they'll be as shocked as we are. You'll know that this being in loads of group chats on WhatsApp, but I can imagine their group chats been gone absolutely mental since Thursday. But by the way, so is Airdrie's, so is Dunfermline's, so is Queen's Park. And it's all a bit up in arms at the moment. Like we says, we expect at the moment that they probably will lodge an appeal. The SPFL clearly feel they've got a strong investigation to have such severity in their points deduction. But I think the biggest interesting factor is if they do lodge the appeal, how quickly can this be done? Because like you say, relegation and relegation playoffs and promotion playoffs will have to be determined over the next couple of weeks.
Andy, there is a phrase, the integrity of the competition. The integrity of the competition has got to be protected here by fast-tracking this matter.
To be fair, I mean, Fraser would be able to tell the amount of legality, Hugh. I don't think it's even... it wouldn't be for want of trying. I just think it seems impossible.
Well, if that is the case, then it has the potential to be a farcical situation if the appeal is successful. I tend to think, having no deep knowledge of the matter, action as severe as that was taken in the full and certain knowledge that the SPFL knew they were on solid ground.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Fraser, maybe straying into even more unfamiliar territory than what we usually do, but Hamilton Accies would be more than entitled to a period of time to get their appeal in order, to get whatever information they need to put their case forward. The SPFL would then be allowed the same amount of time to get their house in order and respond. It would then need to be ruled upon. So Hugh says fast-tracked. I don't think there's any way that could happen, is there?
Well, it'd be very difficult to get it done before the end of the season unless Hamilton Accies themselves wanted it fast-tracked, and then we could have a hearing. But Hamilton are entitled to natural justice and fair justice, the same as everybody else. And these things rarely take weeks. You know, they take, certainly not a couple of weeks. They'll take a lot longer. And as you said, Gordon, you know, they'll have a long decision to go through because this is an independent tribunal. I don't know who's on the tribunal, but usually it's a legal chair and perhaps another legal person. It's one of the two wing members. Then they will have written a really, really detailed decision because they'll know the magnitude of the decision they are taking. But then Hamilton have to digest that. They have to pick at that. And whether they decide to go down the route of, I'll tell you what, they were completely wrong to actually find us guilty. That's one argument. And the second argument is, well, yeah, even if they did find us guilty, 12 and 3 points together is far too heavy a sanction. Now, that is detailed, and you'll get lawyers who will have to do their job, and they won't be rushed either because they've got a job to do to represent their clients properly. So it's all a bit of a mess towards the end of the season. I don't think anybody knows how this is going to end up. And also, Hamilton, I've got a question. Do they want the 15 points this season? Or then if it goes into next season and then they lose, what happens then? Do they take a 15-point deduction at the start of next season? So it's a very, very complex area for everybody concerned.
Could be a big moment here in this semi-final because Lauren Shankland, it looked like cramp, but now he's gesturing as if it's something worse than that, and he would be nailed on to take a Hearts penalty, but his afternoon might be over. That would be a huge blow for Hearts. We're in 112 minutes gone now in that Scottish Cup semi-final. Any?
Well,
he is, yeah, he's coming off. That's a huge blow ahead of penalties.
Hearts designated main penalty taker George Grant has just came off 5 minutes previous. So you think Hearts probably first two names to be put down for the show if it gets there are now off the field.
For someone through his career and put so much running in, that's cramp. I know the sign.
First two names
they'll be putting down, it'll be John Robertson and Gary McKay.
Let's go to East End Park. Any handshakes, hugs, autographs, selfies between Mark Wilson and Neil Lennon so far, David Friel?
I've not seen any so far, Gordon. Neil Lennon's not been seen. I saw Mark out there taking the warm-up for a spell as well. But as I seen earlier, you know, it's amazing. Obviously, two careers intertwined at Celtic for so long and in different ways, and now they're up against each other in the dugout. It's just a huge game for both clubs. You know, the Dunfermline, obviously, there's connotations of what happens with Hamilton Accies, but Neil Lennon just wants focus. He's won two, lost two of his four games in Charles so far. I think he wants to make this place a fortress. He wants a really strong home record, which it hasn't always been over the years recently. So huge game for them. And then Mark Wilson and Brian Graham, it was going so well. I think they were unbeaten their first six. They got the Manager of the Month award for March, and I remember Gordon Dale saying that it's all over from there, and they've lost two since then. So he wanted to get back to winning ways as well. So huge game for both.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one for sure. Dunfermline against Partick Thistle. Of course, we had a Mark Wilson watch a bit, but we put our personal feelings to one side and appreciate what a big game that could be in the Championship. Because of course, if Partick Thistle do slip up, Raith Rovers waiting in the wings to try and get into the top four and the playoffs. But I would imagine they come up against party atmosphere at Falkirk today, Fraser.
Yes, they've got a lot to play for, Raith, and that can't be forgotten. I think it's an interesting one for Falkirk because it all sounds very straightforward. A home game, sell out crowd, go and win it and you're there. But if they don't win it and they lose to a Raith team that have got plenty to play for, then all of a sudden, two games to go, it's 3 points. I really don't think that Falkirk are going to slip up. Then the pressure just might start to build. So I think they want to do it today. They don't want to wait and try and get a result going in their favour. They want to do it today in front of a big crowd. The start of the game will be very important. Can they get over the nerves quickly? Can they take the game to Raith Rovers? But I like the look of the Raith team. Just looking at their team and the formation, you know, they've got Jimmy Gullen up front, who's done well for Raith over the years, but they've also got Lewis Bond and Dylan Easton, two really clever players, two number 10s, but very good and very creative players as well. They've got plenty of experience. Scott Brown in the midfield is a very good player as well, with Hanlon and Luke Steams at the back. So this is not an easy game for Falkirk, but I do think they'll get there. I don't think it's going to be a runaway victory for them. I think they're going to have to be a very nervy last few minutes. But I think Falkirk will get there by the odd goal.
and they'll celebrate hugely, supporters, and so they should. They've been through the mill in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yes. Oh, Gordon Dale, that song's right up your street, isn't it? You're now pointing, you're doing dad dancing in the studio
for Falkirk.
That is disgraceful.
I'll tell you, apart
Tony
from
Christie, John, wasn't it?
Yes, but is this the way to Amarillo? Is this the way to Jim Duffy? Because he was the man who tipped at the start of the season back-to-back promotions for Falkirk. What a call that is from Duff.
Before a ball was kicked, you're absolutely right. Oh, Aberdeen could be in here. Hearts are looking tired eventually. Oh, it's another great save, Craig Gordon, and it's hacked off the line. 116 minutes of action. Hearts have been down to 10 men for ages, and still they hang on. Referee's given a free kick, though. Is Leighton Clarkson still on the pitch? Yes, he is.
Yep.
This is Leighton Clarkson territory. Cammy Devlin felt the free kick should have gone the other way. But if this goes in, it would almost...
Oh, red card!
Cammy Devlin sent off. Is that a second booking? It
yes.
can be a straight red, I was going to say. So that's nine men. Hearts are down to nine men. Can they hang on for the final 4 minutes of this Scottish Cup semi-final?
I go back to my Jimmy Tilleen question. If he loses, and it would have to be on penalties, you would think now, but if he loses to nine-man Hearts a week after losing to 10 or drawing with 10 men Rangers, then...
Yeah, but 9 million Hearts, Hugh, there's 4 minutes to go.
Nevertheless.
You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, you've lost to Hearts with...
Managers always say, oh, it takes a second to score a goal.
I don't think he's... Yeah, I don't
think... Do you think that's a booking?
That's terrible. That's a terrible decision.
I think it's a very harsh decision.
I think he's just been caught. His eyes are firmly on the ball. He's just trying to clear the ball, Gordon. Aberdeen players come in, nicked it from him. Do you think that's a booking?
It's a booking for me, yeah.
Oh, Andy, come on. Listen, you don't get caught in this because you play it. You know, behave. You're a pundit this afternoon.
I mean, he's still late, isn't he? And he still catches the defender. You can argue that you feel it's harsh, but I think that's a second booking for me. Now, to the chance, you've just seen the chance back from Keskinen. Yes, he gets a shot away, but he must fashion himself a much better opportunity. He does. His first touch is poor. You can see he's desperate to get back into his right foot. And by the time he does, this is Leighton Clarkson.
No chance.
What do you mean, no chance?
No, it's too straight for him.
He's
up against a goalkeeper who's in brilliant form. It's not in an angle. He's very straight.
So that means he can choose either side.
I don't think he's beating Craig Gordon from there.
Now, there's not long to go, but you're expecting a barrage of Aberdeen attacks here.
Oh, and they've scored. That is incredible. Hearts have won it in Aberdeen have won it in the 118th minute. Ode Dabag fires it into the roof of the net. The Hearts players claiming for offside, but I think hoping rather than expecting. There didn't look to be anything wrong with it, and that is an absolute heartbreaker for Neil Critchley's side. 118 minutes. They've hung on so well with the 10 men and now 9 men, but it looks like Aberdeen will go through.
Well, I was just about to say that you're expecting a barrage of Aberdeen chances in the next 4 or 5 minutes, being given Hearts are down to 9 men and the very, very first opportunity they get. The ball comes into the box for the right hand side. Craig Gordon does well to keep the first effort out, but it falls to that man Omar Daba at the edge of the 6 yard box as he prods it in, and there's no way back for Hearts now.
Feel for Craig Gordon. Oh. He's made a number of good saves, and that's another one there, and it just... Yeah, I think he's going to be onside.
He's onside.
Well, we never know until they draw the lines, but it doesn't look off.
It's a terrific save from Craig Gordon. As the ball comes in, and then, he's just unlucky, and the striker's in the right place at the right time. His eyes must have just lit up and thought, I'm putting us into the final of the Scottish Cup.
That is a sore one, Hugh, from Neil Critchley.
Very. You know, the pressure was on Jimmy Tilleen, but now the mood swings, and you know what it's like. It is a sore one, but he's out. And the Hearts fans will say, well, this isn't good enough for us. The weight of history will now be on Aberdeen's shoulders. 35 years since they last won the Scottish Cup, and it was against Celtic. And now you would put your house on an Aberdeen-Celtic final in May. Now it remains to be seen how deeply the Heart supporters are affected by this particular result. Again, it's another example of Neil Critchley. Show him a big match and he doesn't win it.
Is it? I mean, you go down to 10 men and then 9. What's the manager supposed to do?
Fine lines, fine lines, Gordon. I know what Hugh's saying. It was a big game for him because he went into this game under a lot of pressure. I think Hearts have handled this well. Second half, they've battled away. They were the best team in the first half. And it's just that one moment that the Hearts defenders switch off and it lands perfectly for him. After a good, you'd say, good save from Craig Gordon.
4 minutes added on, so we will get our 3 o'clock game started and a full-time report from Hampden when we return.
The winning team, all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Andy Halliday and Gordon Dielle are here. The 3 o'clock games in the Championship are underway, but we have our first Scottish Cup finalist. Who is it, Dave Galloway?
It's Aberdeen who go through after edging Hearts out 2-1 here at Hampden. What a dramatic afternoon we have had. Hearts started very much the better team. McCart missed an early chance after Mitov missed the ball from a corner, shooting just wide when he really should have hit the target. They had a firm grip of the game, and Aberdeen were putting passes everywhere, going well astray. They looked very slack, and Kabangu couldn't quite connect with Shankland's lovely cross as the Jam Tarts really tried to force home their advantage. But the Dons came into things a bit and they took a 19th minute lead, still very much against the run of play. Great corner kick from Clarkson. Gay with a powerful header, it hit the underside of the bar, then hit Gordon and went in for an OG by the Scotland veteran keeper. It was almost 2-0 when Morris's speed took him round Gordon. He crossed for Gay, only for Devlin to clear magnificently. But Shankland levelled matters on 28 minutes, drilling the ball through Mitov's legs after Aberdeen really poorly defended Penrice's cross from the left. At 44 minutes in, Hearts were down to 10 men. Steinvender lunging in on Keskinen, who was trying to burst through on goal. John Beaton couldn't get the red card out quickly enough, a straight red there. A few minutes after the interval, Gay came so close to restoring Aberdeen's lead, glancing ahead or just wide after Palaversa picked him out. Hearts were well organised, very well organised, more defensive with their numerical disadvantage and trying to spring attacks when they could, and McCart headed over from a corner kick. But the onus was very much on the Dons to break them down. Clarkson went close with a drive from just outside the box, deflected wide with Gordon wrong-footed. However, the Jam Tarts were comfortably containing their opponent. Penrice almost scored for Hearts with a curler from the edge of the box going just wide. A real lack of guile from Aberdeen, to be honest, who couldn't capitalise on having that additional player on the field. So into extra time we went, and as half-time approached, it took a superb save from Gordon to keep out Dabag's drive from Shinney's cutback. Jensen blew a big, big chance from 6 yards for the Dons, side-footing Shinney's cross wide of target. Ockles then forced a very good save from Gordon, and the ball was hacked clear. Cammy Devlin got Hearts incredibly down to 9 men. He got a second yellow card for a tackle on the edge of the area. But it seemed that penalties were absolutely certain. They seemed like a formality. But then Dabag forced the ball over the line after Polvara's effort was brilliantly saved by Gordon. That was just with a couple of minutes of the regulation time left in the second period of extra time. So great bravery from the men in maroon, but it's Aberdeen who are going to next month's Scottish Cup final. It's finished here. Hearts 1, Aberdeen 2.
And there we have it. The celebrations go on at Hampden. Celtic or St Johnston will meet Aberdeen. No goals yet to tell you about in our 3 o'clock Championship matches. And there we are, Hugh. Aberdeen have a few times in recent seasons got to cup finals. They've run into a tough opponent in Celtic more often than not, but they're in another one here.
Yeah, and they have the chance to rectify 35 years of waiting to win this particular competition. 1990 against Celtic, went to penalty kicks, Aberdeen triumphed. I think Brian Irvine scored the final penalty to give Aberdeen the cup under Alex Smith as manager. And it's ridiculous that a club of their size have gone 35 years and watched Inverness Cali Thistle win the Scottish Cup, watched St Johnstone win the Scottish Cup, and didn't do it for themselves. But now, and I would assume that they'll play Celtic in the final, they have the chance to repeat history. For Jimmy Tilleen, terrific in his first season in charge of the club. For Neil Critchley, the jury is now out, considering its verdict. Is it enough that the manager should lose his job on a day when he was eventually reduced to 9 men? Is it the case that the Aberdeen, or the Hearts supporters, will simply say, well, look, show him a big match, he doesn't win it, he doesn't beat Celtic, he doesn't beat Rangers, he hasn't beaten Aberdeen this season, and in our estimation, being top bottom six is also symptomatic of this being an awful season for Hearts?
It probably means this. Aberdeen are now a long way to securing this as a good season, Andy. If you can go Scottish, for those size of clubs, if you can go Scottish Cup final and finish third or fourth, that goes down as a good season. Maybe if they were slipped to fifth, there would be a bit more frustration.
Well, listen, you make a good point. I think as it stands, they're having a good season. But listen, they've got 4 weeks to make it an unbelievable season. Obviously, they're into the Scottish Cup final. Can they go and win it for the first time in 35 years? And they still have that third place in their grasp. You know, are they favourites for it? Probably not. But listen, who's to say they can't go and do it?
I agree with the lads. I think you would take that if you're Aberdeen. You're so close now. You'll probably face Celtic in the final, which has got to be a real difficult situation for you. But to be up there, third, fourth, Scottish Cup final, first year, especially the way they started, everybody had such high hopes for them. They took that dip, they'll learn by that, and they'll celebrate tonight, and congratulations to them being in the Scottish Cup final.
And Hearts needed that result to have even an acceptable season to win that game today. So that compounds their season to be, of course, a really, really poor season when you see what they've achieved over the last three seasons in the top flight. They've been to two Scottish Cup finals previously as well, and after confirming their bottom six spot last Saturday, now going out and today, it's obviously been a really disappointing season for Hearts.
How do you think this reflects on Neil Critchley? Because Hugh's alluding to this narrative that's been developing this week that his job could be in jeopardy if he doesn't win this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Hugh did provide the balance there as well. When you go and pin everything on one game like that and you go down to 10 men after half an hour, is it right then that's the final straw? How do you think his future looks from here?
I think his future remains as a Hearts manager. Personally, it was interesting. He took a lot of criticism for saying after his pre-match conference, that if he was in charge, they would have finished top six comfortably. And he took a lot of stick for it. But actually, the data shows that it would be. He obviously came into the job while Hearts were sitting second bottom of the league for a long, long period of time. He had them third in the form table since he was in charge. David Gray and Hibs have now steamrolled that because they're on a 16 game unbeaten run, but I think there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that he's going to be Hearts manager going into next season. Let's not forget as well, they've already signed two players for next season. Yes, Jamestown Analytics will be a huge part of that, but there's no doubt that Neil Critchley said he's saying these signings as well.
Do you think that's an acceptable line of defence to say, oh, if I've been here for longer, you're judged on when you start and the present day? He's now won 14 games as Hearts manager and lost 13.
We sacked managers too quick, in my opinion, the modern day game.
And you've got room for it. I think maybe it's just somewhere in the middle. A bit of nuance.
Well, that's the thing. People aren't arguing as he had a good season. That's not the argument. It's should he lose his job? Yeah. Now, that stat you've showed 14 points, wins. And I don't think that's enough to lose your job, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
It's what people see inside the building, what's happening, right? You look at, and we keep going back to the greatest example this year, Hibs board must have looked at David Gray and thought, I'll come good. We have to be patient, we have to take the criticism, and it did come good for them. I just think that we have this knack now in the modern day game, if you go on a little bit of a bad run and it's a sort of poor season, which has ended up for Hearts, right, let's replace the manager. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You've got to either believe that he's the right man to take you forward in the future, give him the transfer windows he deserves, and then see where it takes
you. Well, we can revisit it because I'm sure we'll hear from him before the afternoon is out. No real chances or goals, certainly, to tell you about. Falkirk had a chance there. It was Miller with the reverse pass. He put Arfield through in the box, But Ray quickly off the line to block at his feet. So Falkirk looking to all but seal the title today with a win. But what a victory it was for Livingston last night. Just delaying things slightly. A 5-0 win against Ayr United. Most of us didn't see it coming. Gordon Dale, you definitely didn't see it coming, because we had to tell you the score when you arrived in the studio this afternoon.
I didn't want to hear a score. My old club getting beat.
Is that what it was?
You know, I've watched them and just slipping down the league, and I was so keen for them to be in that Premier League. But we can still do it. We can still do it.
Mark Wilson claiming a penalty. Aidan Fitzpatrick tangled with Kyle Benedictus, but nothing given. Dunfermline did have a chance before that. Matty Todd heading wide from Chris Kane's cross. So no goals to tell you about early on, which means Hugh Keevans, shall we?
Yes.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I think this is a tough one. So far this century, only five players have been signed by, with emphasis on the word signed, only five players have been signed by both Hearts and Aberdeen and have also played at senior level for either Celtic or Rangers. So far this century, only five players have been signed by both Hearts and Aberdeen and have also played at senior level for either Celtic or Rangers. Who are they?
Go at Clyde SSB. It is a race. Not only do you need to get them all right, you need to do it quicker than everyone else. Of course, if five is beyond you, you're more than welcome to just throw some answers in there, shout out some thoughts and see how they stick. We'll see who can come up with all the answers on one tweet though. So it's at Clyde SSB. It's a bit of a race. Get going. I can tell Andy Hallett, he loves these types of things. Look at him, he's pen and paper working furiously. Gordon Dale's just looking over your shoulder to try and steal some of them.
Oh, that's tough, that.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I can tell.
What do you think the best thing about Andy coming in here on a Saturday afternoon is? Is brilliant football knowledge?
No.
Or the Marks and Spencer's chocolate covered custard creams that he brings every time?
He's brought the best biscuits I've ever tasted in my career.
They're incredible, aren't they?
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, brilliant, mate.
Other supermarkets are available, but he's a man of class.
What's wrong with a simple custard cream? Why do you have to put chocolate over it?
Don't worry, I've got cold beans for you in the bag under the desk.
please, we've suffered that enough.
The look in your face when you discovered Hugh Keevans doesn't like chocolate. So the three of us, honestly, just need to tuck them away.
If you weren't an enigma enough,
I won't tell you his response in case it frightens small children.
Anyway, Andy Halliday isn't here with Gordon Dale and Hugh Keevans this afternoon. We're taking you through the Championship action. We will reflect more on that game at Hampden. Aberdeen are through to the Scottish Cup final. We'll find out tomorrow if it's St Johnstone or Celtic that join them. Your full first half teaser is up and running. So I think we're good. I think we're settled. That's
us. We've not got the ACCA.
Oh, for goodness sake. Go on then. Give me your three Championship games.
No, go ahead. Hugh, go first.
All right. Simple. Straightforward. Three home wins.
Oh, you're betting against Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
That's poor. That's really poor.
You hypocrite.
Ridiculous. I'm going three home wins as well.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You think Dunfermline will beat Partick?
Yeah. No, Thistle. I'll tell you what, I'll give them a benefit doubt. I'll go draw.
Very brave of you. Andy, the three games.
I'm going to go Partick win. I'm going to go Airdrie win. We just add an extra in there.
Yeah.
Falkirk and a Hamilton Queen's Park draw.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on those other games as well. The Accies fans, unsurprisingly, singing Sack the Board. I suspect it could get worse than that throughout the afternoon, Hugh.
Yeah, it's such a convoluted situation at the Accies Football Club, who do not own the ground that they play in. One of the complications, the non-payment of players, allegedly, it's all to be gone through, but it is a mess, I would have to say.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
First goal goes to the champions in waiting. It's Falkirk and it is Calvin Miller. As a ball down the right hand side of the box, opens up his body on his left foot and slots it into the back of the net. Falkirk 1, Raith Rovers 0.
Let the party begin. I got the feeling that today, the way their season has gone, and they're a good football team, the way their season's gone, I had the feeling today they would go out with a bit of a flourish, and that's the start of the flourish.
Agree. I think there'll be a very warm welcome for them in the Premier League. I think they play some good stuff. They play total football. They've got good players, everything about them.
I'm delighted to see John McLean and Falkirk coming up to the top league.
Yeah, the party's starting already, Andy.
Yep, and they've got a great fan base as well. So I think there'll be a brilliant addition to the top flight. You see some of the attendances, not only at home they've had, but some of the away crowds that they've took to across the championship as well. But what a fantastic goal. And I make no apology for saying it could be a good result for Partick as well.
You've spoken much to your old pal Scott Arfield since he went?
I have actually. I might get into trouble for saying this because I don't know if it's been released yet, but his wife asked me to do a little video because they're doing a compilation of ex-teammates for scoring 100 goals. So I'd done that for him last week or so.
He's playing just now. So
listen, it might get sent to him, you never know.
He won't spoil it for him. But yeah, there we go. And Fraser Wishart pointing out as well, although they've signed players like Scott Arfield, a lot of this is about the continuity. 9 of the starters were in the squad in League One last season.
Incredible. It's absolutely incredible. It's a fairy tale. But they deserve it because, you know, the one or two that have added, like say we talk about Scott Arfield, at the right time, it needed that little bit of injection. And Scott Arfield comes out. Was it two in his first game?
Hat-trick in his first game.
Absolutely brilliant. And the players get such a lift when they see a player like his calibre walking into that dressing room. You've got to say, Paul Smith, John McLean, the backroom staff, what a job they're doing.
When you look at the Livy result last night as well, if you're a Ross County, for example, or perhaps Dundee, or who knows, you wouldn't fancy Livingston in a playoff.
And it's a great, just on the Falkirk squad though, the variety of this. So 9 of the starting 11 last season, 9 of the starting 11 today, were in the League One squad last season. The other two is Scott Arfield, who needs no introduction, and Caelan Adams, who was signed from the Lowland League in Cumbernauld Coast.
Brilliant.
It's not like, go and just only look at guys that have been there and done it. The two people at complete opposite ends of the recruitment spectrum there.
But it shows me how good John is at talent spotting. You know, he knows that Arfield's the experienced one that'll come in and kick them on, and then he looks at one for the future and thinks he can play a few levels above. And he goes and gets them and it adds to his team. But the one thing that's impressed me about them is I love the way they play football. You know, it's total football for me. And Andy's right, they'll be great for the Premier League.
See, if you were closing in on the, or trying to close in, I should say, on the League Two title in Peterhead, and you then found yourself 3-0 down within 20 minutes, that would probably surprise your fan base, wouldn't it?
Incredible. 3 games to go. Peterhead, obviously 4 points at the top of the table. They go away to Elgin, who are obviously sitting in that playoff position. And you've got to say a win today puts them in a really strong position to get promoted to that League 1, and then get to go 3-0 down after 20 minutes. League 2 has been a crazy league this year.
It's now down to 1 point. Yeah, it's now down to 1 point. He's 5 for winning.
Well, Elgin are sitting 4th currently in the table, and they were obviously top of the league for a period of time. Edinburgh City, East 5, Peterhead, they've all shared the top spot.
That's incredible.
And it seems as if, going on today's evidence, that nobody's desperate to win it as it stands.
Right, keep your answers coming into that first half teaser. Go a quick reminder, Hugh, if you can, please.
Yes, so far this century, 5 players have been signed by both Hearts and Aberdeen, and have also played at senior level for either Celtic or Rangers. Name them.
Thinking caps on, because this is tough, and we need all 5 before half time. So at Clyde SSB. I can see one answer already coming in from David, and straight away, David, I'm afraid to tell you, Johnny Hayes.
No, never played
hasn't
for
played
Hearts.
Hasn't played for Hearts.
Yeah.
Think of him in the Andy Halliday bracket. Played for Rangers and Hearts, but not Aberdeen. There'll be a few who are missing one of the three. We need the 5 that have done all 3 in that time frame. Partick Thistle, Fitzpatrick racing free down the right, but good defending from Benedictus. Those two have tangled a couple of times already. And the Dunfermline stopper coming out on top there. Here's one that we can get a bit of a debate going. We'll get Andy Halliday's thoughts. We'll get Fraser Wishart's insight as well. Did you hear that the PFA Scotland Team of the Year, Team of the Season, is out for all the divisions actually? Mm-hmm. With no offence to the lower leagues, I'm going to focus a bit more on the Premiership just for debating purposes. Casper Schmeichel in goal.
Fair play.
As voted for by the fellow pros, remember. Back 4 of Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, John Souter and James Penrice of Hearts at left back. A midfield 3 of Nico Raskin, Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate, and then an attacking trio of Nicholas Kuhn, Daizen Maeda and Sam Dolby. So only 1, 2, 3, only four non-Celtic players, seven Celtic players in the team, as like I said, as voted for by the other players. Fraser can remind us of the exact specifics if we need to know them. Andy, does that differ from your team? What did you vote for?
It wasn't too dissimilar, to be fair. There's a couple of omissions, so we say, for the team that I've I had Triantis in it. I had Triantis in it instead of Callum McGregor, and I had Rocky Bashiri in it instead of John Searle. No Hibs players in the team of the year seems mad to me.
Also, Bashiri's played the whole season and John Suter's played half of it.
19 games.
Bashiri had the worst start, did he not?
The 3-3 game against Rangers, he was absolutely
He's also
terrible.
Had the best 7 months.
Yeah. He has been really good. I think people are struggling to shake off some of that. He's been really good.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I'm going to throw another name in there. I said it earlier. I don't care what anybody says, Simon Murray. There's got to be a place for him.
Instead of Dolby?
It's a close call, right. But I think where Dundee are, the way Simon Murray's played as a team player, the effort, the work, everything, and he's scoring goals, I would probably, if I'm Simon Murray, I'm feeling a bit.
But you said there's got to be a, you can't pick 12 or 13. Who are you leaving out? Dolby,
yeah.
Do you know what does make it really, really hard for players at this at times is because it really does depend when the voting is and what time does the PFA Scotland come in with their sheet for your players to vote? After we've submitted a vote, I think Simon Murray went and scored two against St Mirren and then followed up with a goal the week later. Put some top goals
right back. Now, would you, if you got your chance to change, would you change and put Murray in that team?
No, I would still have Dolby. I just think for them to be a promoted championship they've just been promoted for the championship. He's came in, he's put them into the top six. They're sitting fourth on the table just now. They could get third, you never know. So that's the reason.
Simon Murray has carried Dundee single handedly.
So who would you have him at? We've carried them where? Second bottom?
No, they'd be relegated if it wasn't for him. They were even talking people are now mentioning him in the words of, would you see it been silly from Steve Clarke to take him into Scotland squad. I know that, but he's never getting in the English squad.
He's had a brilliant season, but like I said, when I voted Sam Dolby, he was top scorer in the league.
What's Dolby having?
A brilliant season as well. Just like the other 10 that are in the
team.
I'll tell you what,
the three boys out at the games to text in, I bet they'll back me.
They've got an extra 2 weeks under their belt to go with you for Simon Murray. Fraser just reminding us it's a free vote. You can't vote for a player in your own team.
Yeah, we know that.
You vote for outside.
I did a vote for yourself.
Lennon Miller.
Would you have had anything? So it's the only out of the team of the year, the only thing you would change is Simon Murray.
I'm sorry with Andy. I don't know if John Suter. You know, Andy plays against these guys week in, week out. We're in the studio. We watch highlights and stuff like that, and then live games. I don't know about John Suter. I don't know about the two centre backs. Has Cameron Vickers been?
He's played a lot of games. I think I still think he's been Celtic's best centre half. What people get up in arms about is because people say, "Oh, John Suter's better than Rocky Bashiri." Nobody's saying that, but the fact that I just don't think playing 19 games out the 33. Is enough, but considering how well Rocky Bashiri's done for Hibs this year and finishing third in the league.
And in a season when Rangers' results have been so poor, that's got to reflect on the defender.
I know what you're saying about Carter Vickers, right? And he's a brilliant, brilliant player. But sometimes we just keep looking at the.
I know what you're saying as well, but which centre backs in the league have had a better season than Cameron Carter Vickers?
This is what I'm putting the debate out there for, because obviously Andy plays against him.
You've stirred it, so I just answered the question. So all of a sudden he's back in the team.
I feel he's a captain. I'll give him that.
You can tell us, Andy, what you are. You're all across this stuff, and you do a lot of punditry as well. You are obsessed with Scottish football. You will perhaps look up how many appearances John Suter has made. Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say that maybe some of your fellow pros, which they're allowed to do, by the way, just won't, and will just think, well, on a gut feeling, he's pretty good, and I thought he was quite good when I played against him, so he will get
the potentially.
Vote.
And listen, there'll be plenty in the league that are voting for their pals as well, to try and get their pals into the team of the year. But listen, you've got to do it fairly. I think it's some boys will be love the fact they're in team of the year, some might not care, but I think you have to be fair and who's had a really good season.
Anything? I've not, unfortunately, because of all the concerts I've had to go to in the last few years, I've not been to the dinner. Do you get anything for being in team of the year?
Maybe you get your recognition for being in
a wee trophy or anything?
I've no idea. A certificate, you want a certificate?
Yeah,
a wee
plaque.
Maybe. Andy, what was your main? Because, like I say, you are an extreme example, because you'll have all bases covered here. But when you get that sheet, do you lean more to the players that you think have been really good against you, or do you take a wider?
I just take a kind of a broader, like, sort of opinion on how the leagues went, and obviously I haven't watched a lot of games. To be fair, listen, if we're going against teams that we've played in, Sam Dalby wouldn't be in it, because we've done That's pretty true. Well against Dundee United this year. But I'll obviously, like you says, I watch most games most weeks, so I'll go off of the broader performance of the season.
And other players might not, which, again, you know, it's fine, you've got your own thoughts on it. You get a medal if you're in the team of the year.
Whoa,
according to the,
I like that,
big
Fraser.
Dog at the PFA Scotland.
Yeah, I like that. Speaking to Fraser today, I just confirmed it. I will be attending his dinner.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Do you know the problem with that?
He was over the moon.
Do you know the issue with that?
What?
He was too polite to tell you.
What?
Deadline was yesterday.
And hello?
Deadline was yesterday.
Right, I've got it in writing.
I'm serious.
If you're an old pro.
I confirmed I ticked the box yesterday.
This is a big setup between me and Fraser. We've stitched you. Fraser and I spoke on the phone yesterday afternoon.
Hold on. Stop the bus. What are you talking about?
The deadline was yesterday,
which I confirmed.
And you missed it.
No, I did not.
You did.
It's in my emails. I've got it there.
Well, Fraser called me at 3 or 4 o'clock yesterday and said, we need to have this out in the show, because he's missed it.
See,
he's missed the deadline.
I think it was about 5 or 6.
See,
I went up to his office.
I know. Have you ever heard anything as ridiculous? You know, in the last couple of weeks, we've been debating. Hugh said he wasn't invited, but he was, and there was all sort of mistake. Is this not the most typical Hugh Keevans thing ever? He turned up in person at PFA Scotland's headquarters
on Thursday
to confirm his attendance.
Yeah. I know. I was meeting him.
I was wandering about, and I heard the voice saying, "You look as confused as me." And I turned round, and it was Tony Higgins. He said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Your office." And Tony took me up to the office, and a lovely lady there made sure that I would be on the media table.
There is an alert put out for a confused old man wandering Glasgow's West End. Have you seen this man? Come and claim him. And it was you looking for Fraser Wishart's office. And
yes.
So you're actually going to turn up this year, are you?
I think so.
As long as you're not too late.
Yeah, I'm actually in discussions with Fraser over something else that we'd like to keep hush hush.
You're not getting a plus one to the PFA's behaving yourself. Not a chance.
And I don't want a plus one.
Not only that, I brought my taxi driver in here today to give him the conducted tour of Super Scoreboard.
Yeah.
So that my taxi's already arranged for.
Is there nothing PFA you two won't do for favours?
No.
When you get to a certain age, you've just got to call in every favour, isn't that right, Hugh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the football. Falkirk 1, Raith 0. Half an hour gone, Calvin Miller's goal, the difference between the sides. Nothing else in our featured championship matches either. On that team of the year, Hugh, I didn't put it to you. Is there anything that offends you? Anything you would have done different?
To be honest, I'm with the Dazzler. I think Simon Murray will feel a little bit aggrieved that he's not there. I think for the, you know, carried Dundee on his back the whole season long.
See, if you're talking about aggrieved strikers, you know what one caught my eye? Championship top scorer Brian Graham not in team of the year.
Dear.
Too busy focusing on management, maybe, is the accusation from his fellow pros. Robbie Muirhead, George Oakley, Calvin Miller, to be fair, have all been good as well.
Yeah, been excellent.
But it's just rare that the top scorer in a division wouldn't make it in the team of the year, surely.
What I think is more surprising is Falkirk only have 4 in it. They've been the best team in the league by a country mile, and they only have 4 players in the team of the year out of the 11. Same amount as Livy. Is that
it's
right?
All sure the top Livy there, isn't it? It's just Falkirk. Yeah,
Livy
here.
I know Fraser's listening, right? And we're not going to criticise. When did they start team? Because it never happened in my day team of the year. I don't think it did.
It did. You just won the innit, so you didn't remember.
Mate, I kept winning it every year. I won the single award. Know that one?
You
two
said
speeches
earlier,
at a time I had.
You said earlier on, Andy, that players vote for their pals. The players deliberately not vote for some people.
If you don't like them.
Back in my more bitter days, I would have done that, I'd imagine. But not so much now. I'm an honest man. Tell you what, goal flash, St Caddocks have just equalised against the Bens.
Oh, can't the Bens.
Oh, I forgot. You're now joking. That Andy's in, you get West of Scotland updates when he's in here.
Gutted.
So does that mean relegation for the Bens?
No, they're still just outside the relegation place. But I mean, a win the day would have been massive. But St Caddocks have just equalised.
He takes his Ben Burb seriously.
What way to go.
Does your brother still play?
He does, he's captain today.
He's obviously
just
doing well.
Just scored an own goal.
No own goal. But I tell you what, you must be happy with Clyde Bank.
Oh yeah, great. Gordon Moffat, well done.
Are they winning today?
They won
the champions.
Oh no, they're champions, but they won
today. Didn't lose a game until.
And then the Largs,
did they go on the lash? Can I accuse them of that?
Largs beat them 3-0 the weekend after the championship.
Here's a big goal. Airdrie 0, Morton 1, Tommy Adeloy with the goal there. It's some sort of tiny slither of good news for Hamilton Accies, I suppose. But I mean, a long way
still. What can John Rankin do? He can only ask that his Hamilton Accies players behave professionally, perhaps more professionally than the club have behaved towards them, to put them in this position. So I'm sure he's a proud man, John Rankin, and he will want to beat Hamilton, beat Queen's Park, just to maintain the belief that you'll still be there somehow.
He's got to. That's all he can do. Concentrating his own job just now. Hugh, listen, it takes a little bit of pressure off John. I know he was turning the corner, he had a couple of good results. Wasn't that long ago that the fans were right on him every two minutes, and that's another blow for him. But he has got to remain professional. Get out there, he's at home today. Let the supporters do what they have to do. Go and win the game first and foremost. Yeah.
Morton still have very, very slim hopes of that playoff spot as well, albeit really slim. They're 7 points behind Partick Thistle, so if Partick do obviously win that game, it means that there'll be no playoff place for Morton. But still interested, any updates from Partick Thistle we've had?
No.
Apparently, the only thing is that Mark's sitting in Lenny's knees. That's the only exciting thing that's happening.
See, before I knock this on the head, the team of the year, any other even left field shouts that deserve a mention, you, on the bench, even ones that maybe would have been in the conversation?
Well, I think left back was a real hard position to pick. I thought James Penrice was excellent for the first 6-7 months of the season, but I look at Nicky Cadden at Hibs, I look at Will Ferry for Dundee United, I think three of them have had excellent seasons. So I thought that was a difficult position to pick. I actually did go for Penrice, to be honest, so can't have any qualms about it. But I think Alex Gogic got a few votes as well for centre half at St Mirren. I agree with you in terms of, listen, Cameron Carter-Vickers is the best centre half in the league, but I don't think there's been many major standouts in that area of the pitch that made it really, really difficult to decide. But listen, I think Vaclav Cherny, could you say, had a really good season, but you've got to argue that's the case. I know Gordon said three subs. I don't think he's had a better season than Kuhn nor Maeda, so I think he's one that if you're getting three subs to choose, I think he'd have been one of them.
Don't call him Vaclav, he doesn't like it.
Oh, sorry, Vaclav.
That's right.
Vaclav.
Oh, puts you in your place if you call him that. It is funny, I'm reading the replies on Fraser Wishart's account announcing the news, and I do think it's still, despite it getting reminded over and over, I think it is lost in some people. It's just voted for by the players. So it's not some big disgrace or scandal if your guy's not there. They just didn't get enough votes. It's just democracy in action.
Well, we had a man on last night in Super Scoreboard who said that Greg Taylor was the worst left back he'd ever seen at Celtic.
That's crazy.
And he would not back down either.
No.
Go on then. Name me a worse one. I tried to tell
Bolly Bollingoli.
Diego Laxalt, Burnaby.
Hold on, Burnaby. Burnaby just went for 5.5 million.
Oh, here we go. Just because you were the founding and only member of his fan club. I tried to tell him that Mark Wilson played a lot at left back, but he had him more as a right back.
I've seen the rumours starting back up again. Does Greg Taylor sign a new contract at Celtic?
Really state?
Well, the boost he got from Brendan Rodgers yesterday was incredible. I've never heard Brendan Rodgers go on that length about a player as he did about Greg Taylor yesterday. So he's very keen.
I'm reading these replies and some unhappy Hibs fans that no players have been given the acknowledgement. Can it be, Andy, though, that some teams are just a real good sum of their parts? And it's not that individual Hibs players haven't been good, but you know, rather than one or two operating at a 10 out of 10,
you've got the full squad maybe at the moment operating at a kind of 7.5-8, and then it's hard to oust other players who've maybe individually done a bit more.
Yeah, potentially. But I look at a couple of individual examples within. I think Triantis has had an unbelievable season for Hibs. I'm really surprised that he didn't make the cut for Team Mia. And listen, granted, he's up against some real quality players in that area of the pitch. Obviously, Rio Hatate getting in there, Raskin, both having brilliant seasons, Callum McGregor having another good season as well. So I think it's a difficult area of the pitch. But I think he's been one of the league's standout, not just Hibs' standout.
And the Motherwell that you would have voted for outside?
Nah, watched probably not, to be honest with you.
Do you think MD voted for you?
No.
Because you've had for your standards, you've had a real good season, haven't you? Now you have. You've played a lot of games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fraser phoned me the day and said, look, stick me down for 4:30 and they'll probably limp out the stadium, out of the studio. But
oh, you messed that joke up. I'm so close. You called it a stadium and not a studio.
I know. And kiss the Clyde bad.
I think for the first 6 months of the season, I think if the team of the year was voted in January, I thought Lennon would have had a real opportunity. His injury, since he's came back from injury, not been as good as the first 6 months. So I think he'd have had a real case, but I can't have too many qualms.
You say that. Well, this guy missed Monday's show because he was concussed.
This guy's been brilliant.
See, when fitness on the pitch starts impacting the selection for the week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
See, every week these guys on top of you, right? Oh, there he goes again. He's down. I'm the one that defends you, mate.
Third most fouled player in the league.
Seriously?
Lennon second.
See, everyone's out to get us. And everybody is out to get Motherwell.
Who's first, actually? Somebody told me this the other day.
I'll be you again.
First and third.
Oh, exactly. But you first.
I tell you what. Give me a guess of who your number one is.
Oh, this is good.
Who's the most fouled player in the league?
I love this.
I would go Maeda.
No chance. He's too quick for people.
That's why.
No, it's going to be
midfield player. Got to be a midfield player.
Actually, I don't think it will be. You know.
Well, I tell you what. Well, who's your guesses?
Rusker.
Kuhn.
No.
Most fouled player.
You ain't getting it.
So it's left field.
I'd say so. Played a lot of games.
Not for Celtic though, basically.
No.
Okay.
Aberdeen. There's not a Celtic player in the top 15.
Aberdeen or Dundee United?
There's not a Celtic player in the top 20.
Seriously?
Yep.
Can't get near them.
Yeah.
That's quite a damning indictment.
Aberdeen.
Shinny.
Yes. The most fouled player in the league.
Wow. No, you're right. I wouldn't have got that.
Lennon Miller second.
And Andy Halliday third.
Cammy Devon, Mo Salah third, Cammy Devon fourth, Mohamed Diamandi fifth.
Right, that's enough. That's
my goodness, eh?
I'm surprised. But listen, look at that. Hold on. This guy brings those stats to the table and a packet of chocolate covered custard creams. Mm-hmm. That is why he's a vital member on a Saturday afternoon.
And fruit pastels.
Annan and two are both won, or both have already won that title. I don't think they'll be too bothered.
Big for Annan though. Really true. Big for Annan.
Very true indeed. As I said, is there any hope? But yeah, it's a big one down the bottom of League Two, actually, isn't it?
Yep.
Still a big distance, though. Losing at home to Bonnyrigg Rose. Still a long way back. Well, it'll be 4 points as things stand.
With two games to play.
Fraser Wishart pointing out earlier as well, there's maybe a more serious conversation to be had about this. I know they're all different cases, but every team at the bottom of League Two, League One, and the Championship have all been deducted points.
Yep.
Yeah, Dumbarton.
Now the Hamilton Accies, so not all about what happens on the pitch.
No VAR in the Championship. Will we round this up?
Yeah, well, I forget we're nearly there. Do you know what? I'm going to do it during the break, Hugh, because I feel like we've not given people as much time as they deserve. Give us the question again.
So far this century, only 5 players have been signed by both Hearts and Aberdeen and have also played at senior level for either Celtic or Rangers. Who are they?
Some really, really good shouts coming in. Genuinely very impressive. Some have only got 3 and 4. Some have got all 5.
It's a tough question, that.
Yeah. I thought you'd be good at this.
I've got 3, I think.
Right, Doug McDonald. No offence, Doug, but you've given us some good wrong ones that we can explain to people to help them along the way. Barry Robson?
No.
Never Hearts. Craig Gordon? Never Aberdeen. Jamie Langfield? Never Hearts.
No.
Okay. Maybe. The guess is coming.
You've not said any of mine, so.
Have you?
I've got 3, I think.
I probably didn't listen to the question right. I've just understood what the question
is. I'll get to 2 minutes left to go.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
Let's see what we've got then, Andy.
I'll give you them during the half time breaks. You've still got time to try and submit some answers to that at Clyde SSB. So Andy, you've got three.
Yeah, well, I think Hugh's just confirmed three.
Still a couple missing then, aren't you?
Yep.
To get thinking. Let's see if we get any late drama in these championship games. It's been quite quiet. Falkirk party time will have just subsided slightly. They need a bit more to make sure this one's done
one
and dusted.
Yeah, it's the only goal.
No, in our future matches, Airdrie are losing to Morton.
Illusion, sorry. That's a blow for Airdrie because they were in a good little run of form, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were starting to really put pressure on the teams above. So, but I think Morton needed a result.
Well, that's true, yep. I mean, it's going to be a fascinating relegation battle. The Hamilton Accies thing changed the picture a bit during the week. I wonder what that, how that game's panning out. Fraser Wishart is obviously at Falkirk. Roger Hannan's at Hamilton. He'll tell us what the first half's been like.
The crazy thing is, no one knows how desperate they need the win because they don't know what's going to happen with if Hamilton go in and lodge this appeal. But focus on your games, try and win your games.
I think you just have to work on the assumption that they. It's very difficult to
it's
know,
so
isn't it? I was
going
to say that they won't win it, but who knows? Carlo Pignatello's equalised for Dumbarton. They were gone a long time ago, but they're level against Montrose. Fair play to them because they've not chucked it. Dumbarton, no. They go and beat Kelty 6-0. They've given it a good go in some of the games that have followed.
He's got the best name in the SPFL.
You like that?
Yeah.
Carlo Pignatello.
Yeah.
Sounds like something you would crack open on a Saturday night.
It sounds like something you should be playing in Verona.
Huge opportunity for Partick Thistle if they go and get the win today, especially with Raith Rovers currently behind against Falkirk. That would put them 5 points ahead of a Raith with two games to go in that last playoff spot. Obviously, Aaron Livingston's places are secure.
Think he's the type to go and rant and rave.
Who?
Wilson.
Wilson's not good in him.
What do you think he's got? Do you think he's got to punch the tactics board, flip the tea table,
no,
see any of that?
I think he just shakes his head.
I think he'd slap the tactics board.
No,
it makes a good noise.
Yeah.
He doesn't like confrontation.
Oh, does he not?
I think you'd be surprised.
Do you think so? To be fair, he did throw his dad off a boat once and told him to go home. Turn the boat back.
Maybe sober, he doesn't like confrontation.
Yeah, yeah.
But you two fell out in Germany, so.
We didn't fall out. We just had a disagreement that he shouldn't have left me. That's all. Stand by your man.
Does Michael Vimmer have a tactics board slapping him?
He's got a shout.
Does he?
Yeah. I'm not seeing any slaps or any physical attacks on flip charts or tactic boards yet. No.
This is where I really admire foreign managers because you need real confidence to get angry in your second language.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough to just converse normally, but the confidence to go and rant and rave in another language, fair play to them. Right, half time. At East End Park. Let's see which manager will be happy. David Friel has watched it.
I'm not sure either. We'll be that happy. To be honest with you, Gordon, Dunfermline 0, Partick 0 at the break. A lot riding in this game. I think you can tell it's been hard fought. Tens, chances in short supply. Hasn't been much between the teams at all. And it hasn't always been easy on the IA. Nesbitt head. Bandage. It feels as if he's 100 goals in the box. So having to do it back.
I don't know what's up with David Friel. Sounds a bit like the Daleks have taken over. Let's go to Falkirk and speak to Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, David seems a bit nervy, a bit cautious up at East End Park, and it's much the same here. Falkirk halfway there, but it hasn't really been a stroll. They started the game in the front foot, took the lead through the game's best player, Calvin Miller, but as a half hour on, Raith began to come into the game, restricting Falkirk to only a few chances and had a couple themselves. Miller and Adams in the front foot from the start on the right-hand side, causing real problems. Miller danced by Stevenson two or three times, got the ball into the box. In the 10th minute, Miller opened the scoring. Sorry, 10th minute, Miller was involved. A sharp reverse pass. Arfield running into the box, tried to lift it over dancing Josh Ray, but the goalkeeper made a good save quickly off his line to block. In 17 minutes, he did open the scoring. Ethan Ross just cutting from the left-hand side, rolled a pass to Calvin Miller on the right inside the box, but 12 yards out, took one touch and fired a low left-foot shot, drilled it past Ray into the back of the net. But that was really it for Falkirk, because 23 minutes, nearly a crazy equaliser. Lewis Vaughan went past three defenders, and you tried to nutmeg Donaldson, who stepped in to tackle. The boy rocketed off the defender across the goal and just inches wide, with Hogarth beaten and scrambling. A good spell for Wraith at this point, dominating the play. Vaughan beginning to show he's denied a goal by a brilliant save by Hogarth, low to his left, a shot across him from about 20 yards. It was cleared off the goal line by Sean Mackey. Falkirk began to show a wee bit more towards the break, but no chances created. Both sides perhaps a wee bit cautious, don't want to open up. They know how much is at stake in today's 90 minutes. And a full house here, home support and good voice when they scored, but a bit quiet towards the whistle, and it's really nervy around the stands. I think the fans would love a second goal to give them some comfort, but Wraith still very much in this game. Half time at Falkirk Stadium, it's Falkirk 1, Wraith Rovers 0.
Right, what about the big game in Hamilton, Roger Hanna?
Yeah, it's Hamilton Mackies 0, Queen's Park 0 at the break. Gordon, you asked me at 5-3 whether there was anger and fury around the place. There wasn't at that stage, but the home fans weren't long to start the chance of sack the board in the week when a 15-point penalty has relegated Hamilton 8 points to the bottom of the table. But the players, to their credit, were applauded off at half-time, because once they get into their stride, the side that beat Dunfermline and Partick back-to-back the last two Saturdays really have bossed this game. Stephen Bradley, he got away from Adam Devine down the left-hand side after 24 minutes, but on loan Rangers right back did well to recover and block. After that, Nikolai Todorov, he had a header in the net that was disallowed by referee Don Robertson for a shove on goalkeeper Callum Ferry. Probably the right decision there. A couple of penalty claims waved on wee by Robertson in the immediate aftermath. First, Ollie Shaw going down under the challenge of Ferry, the referee only awarding a corner. And from that set piece delivery in the left from Charlie Telfer, the ball looked to strike Adam Montgomery in the left hand, but I think Robertson was unsighted and had to wave play on. Shaw then headed wide from Bradley's cross on the left after 38 minutes, and moments later the big striker was denied again by a smart save by Queen's goalkeeper Callum Ferry at his near post. Hamilton were really building momentum towards the break. They'll want to carry that on into the second half, because after that 15 point deduction, they know only a victory can keep them alive in the championship tonight. At the break, it's Hamilton 0, Queen's Park 0.
And we'll do a full roundup of the halftime scores and the answer to your first half teaser when we return.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Halftime scores from across Scottish football. In fact, let's start with a full-time score in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Hearts 1, Aberdeen 2. At the interval in the Championship, Airdrie 0, Morton 1, Dunfermline 0, Partick Thistle 0, Falkirk 1, Wraith Rovers 0, Hamilton Accies 0, Queen's Park 0. In League 1, Annan 2, Arbroath 1, Cove Rangers 1, Alloa 0, Kelty 1, Queen of the South 1, Montrose 1, Dumbarton 1, and Stenhouse Muir 0, Inverness Cali Thistle 0. In League 2, East Fife 2, Stirling Albion 0, Elgin City 3, Peterhead 0, Forfar Athletic 0, Bonnyrigg Rose 1, Spartans 0, Clyde 0, and Stranraer 1, Edinburgh City 0. We'll do some English results if you so fancy to finish off at the break. In the Premier League, Brentford 1, Brighton 1, Palace 0, Bournemouth 0, Everton 0, Man City 0, West Ham 0, Southampton 0. Whilst we're here, Hugh Keevans, let's do this.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
So far this century, only five players have been signed by both Hearts and Aberdeen and have also played at senior level for either Celtic or Rangers. Andy Halliday's got four of the five, and I'll tell him in a second why he's not got the fifth. They are Gary Mackay-Stephen, Celtic, Aberdeen, Hearts. Paul Hartley, Celtic, Aberdeen, Hearts. Andreas Velichka, Hearts, Rangers, Aberdeen. Stephen McLean, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hearts. The one you didn't get, Andy, Neil Alexander, Rangers, Hearts, Aberdeen, signed for Aberdeen, but made no appearances for Aberdeen.
Sneaky. That's sneaky for me, but why not? He did specify signed. I will grant you that. Yeah. Right, let's see. The podium looks like this. Greggs Gardens in third place. Well done, Greggs. Scott Connie was second, but the winner of the first half teaser was Ryan McGinley. And we've got a Who Am I coming up for you when we return. The second halves are next.